Hello and welcome into Stacking Dubs. I am your host, Chris Chin. A little late on this, but we got to recap the Warriors season. I got a loaded episode for you today. We're going to just talk outlook, hypotheticals, a lot of Steve Kerr, pros and cons for keeping him versus moving on. And then I'll give you some predictions on all the different player extensions, options, even a draft pick that I like, and we will get all into it. So let's start here. Let's start at the end today. Obviously, Warriors, great first play-in win, lose to the Suns. I think at this point, we would agree that overall, best possible outcome. Got the nostalgia of a quote-unquote championship-type feeling win in that first game. Doesn't really matter, but it felt nice. And then the second game, better to miss the playoffs. Steph just hobbling around. The last thing I want to do is have him continue to put more wear and tear on that runner's knee that clearly is still bothering him. And he just gets a nice several months to rest up, go to Coachella, do whatever he wants, but just get healthy rather than getting attacked and fallen into and just, you know, bruised up from Lou Dort and the Thunder, and saves the Warriors just some additional mileage. Also keeps intact that 11th spot in the draft and gives us a 9% chance at a top four pick where you can potentially change the franchise's trajectory with a little lottery ball luck. So all in all, I think a good loss in the play-in. And if you think otherwise, I commend you because I did want to see more Steph Curry. I would never root for us to lose. But now that all the dust has settled, I think better in the long run for the franchise. Moving on, let's talk some Steve Kerr. It's going to be a hot topic, and let's see, today is Thursday, April 23rd. I know at any point he's going to be sitting down with the Warriors brass and having a thorough discussion about the future outlook, so we'll see where that lands. Where it stands currently is it sounds like Kerr wants to be back, but there are some philosophical differences that and conditions that are going to have to fall into place for it to work on both ends. Sounds like the Warriors front office, don't know exactly who's talking here, but sounds like the Warriors front office wants to see a more analytical driven approach. By that, I think what they're talking about is a less pass heavy motion offense, which has just led to so many turnovers and lost possessions. Maybe it's less small ball. Maybe, I mean, well, that kind of depends on roster construction as well. But some philosophical differences that they're going to want to see Steve Kerr change. And that's okay. I think what we're doing right now clearly isn't good enough. It has worked in the past. It's worked for a dynasty. Maybe it's time to shake things a little bit up in that offensive system. They were talking about offensive philosophy here. We also learned that Lacob had considered removing Kerr at some point in the past year or even a couple years back. Obviously didn't pull the trigger, but I forget where we heard that from, but sounded like that was someone thought it had crossed Lacob's mind. Obviously the biggest point of contention that Steve Kerr is going to want to see better is roster construction, and basically it's a tug of war for power on who's making the calls on how this roster was built. Obviously Dunleavy, I think, not obviously, I believe Mike Dunleavy has the final say, but sometimes it could be a little Joe Lacob putting his foot down. The biggest contention we've seen in the past is obviously the Kuminga versus Franz Wagner discussion, where Kerr wanted Wagner, wanted some sort of a skilled player ready to play more now and fits his system better than an athlete project like a Kuminga. I think we know if we could have a do-over, which way we would side with that. How I would side with, I guess if we're going to point blame, we can look back and point blame. I know we all like to do it. It doesn't matter as much going forward because it's about the course forward. But if I'm putting blame on either roster construction versus coaching performance, neither has been great. I will first say that. But I think in almost each of the last 4 years, it's been more roster construction. Yeah, there's been injuries, but this team just hasn't been assembled to win. I mean, you got Jimmy Butler, which gave you some firepower. At no point did we ever just look at this roster and say, hey, there's not glaring holes. There's always been a glaring hole of either being too small, not having the wings, the athletic wings, not having enough shooting, not having enough ball handling, whatever the case may be. There has been some glaring hole in roster construction up until maybe this year, which I would say, they plugged a few holes by getting Horford, later Porzingis, still had a hole on the wing, especially once Jimmy Butler got hurt, obviously. But the team didn't perform great. And to that, Steve Kerr definitely deserves some share of the blame, especially while the team was healthy. So there's definitely blame to go around. But if I had to say, in general, what the problem has been, it has been more roster construction than it has been substitution patterns, lack of motivation from players, offensive system, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, we know it has worked in the past with Kerr's system. I get that there's an evolution in the league. We're going to talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the case for moving on from Kerr. But starting with the case to keep Steve Kerr, first and foremost, guy's a winner, winning DNA. We all know his resume has seen winning at the greatest at every level, and as much as almost anybody in that's worked in the NBA, with just different constructs, different coaches, different types of players, in irreplaceable and invaluable experience and knowledge. And the players would attest to that. He's a player favorite. You hear Draymond Green talk about it a lot on his podcast, that just Steve just always knows what to say. Even for a player like Dre, who I'm sure is not an easy player to manage, they've had their share of blowups, but I think Steve Kerr, out of every coach in the league, has been about as good as you can hope for kind of learning how to communicate and manage Draymond. Steph Curry doesn't need much management, but I do think Steve Kerr's system has maximized what you can get out of Steph Curry. We all know that how Steph Curry, best off-ball player in the history of anything in the world, and the off-ball movement has maximized Steph, has preserved him from having to be on ball all the time. How would that look if you got rid of Steve Kerr? We may find out, but I tend to think that a lot of Steph's career longevity has a lot to do with not only Steve Kerr's system, but also Steve Kerr's managing of Steph's minutes. We would all love to see Steph play 38 to 40 minutes per game, but by keeping him in that low 30s, less than almost every superstar in the league in the NBA. Yeah, there's nights that we hate it, but on the whole, I think it's been a large part of so why Steph has had such longevity and still prospering at his age. So that continuity with the vets and more so just managing the uniqueness of Steph and Dre on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Obviously, Steph is a unicorn on offense, and we just talked about kind of putting the system in place to maximize him. Draymond on the other side on defense, he's also a unicorn, and much like Steph, you can do two things with him. You could use him as a stopper and put him on any given player at any position, and that's what they've done recently this year when they had to, and that's a nice weapon, and I'm sure most coaches would use Draymond that way. But Steve has often opted to play Dre at the center and just really kind of play center field, play free safety, and maximize his anticipation and help defense that way. I don't know that every coach would use Dre in that same system as much. So, I give credit to the defensive game planning, especially in playoff series and matchups. I think between the three of Steve Kerr, Steph, and Dre, and all the other coaching staff, this team in playoff series has had as much success and strategic success in terms of how you're going to defend team's best players, how you're going to make adjustments. I think that just Steve Kerr is second to none in terms of just playoff adjustments to matchups. And that's something we haven't seen in a while because we haven't been in too many series, but we all know that the Warriors have great success in the playoffs, and that is a big reason why. Another reason to keep Steve Kerr, well, who are you going to replace him with? Who's the new coach? What's the system? I'd argue that pretty much whatever and whoever it is, there's going to be an initial step back, if not a permanent step back. It just takes time to learn a new system. On the other hand, it does take time to learn Steve Kerr's system for new players coming in, so I'll give you that. But in general, you're basically giving time that Steph Curry doesn't have to try to learn a brand new team, new everything, and new culture. So in most cases, you're not often going to find a long-term successor. So if you're trying to rebuild this thing and just start from scratch, you're hoping for a maybe a young college coach. You're hoping for Mike Brown, maybe from the Knicks, if they get bounced early. You know, I think Mike Brown would probably be the most continuity in terms of, you know, knowing the Warriors, knowing their players, and being able to push for now and hopefully kind of build for the future. But yeah, and lastly, if Kerr's out, it probably raises the chances that the Warriors are just going into a major reset. You know, it just sets the tempo for potentially Dre to either be traded or be out somehow. You're probably conceding that we're Steph Curry's not winning another championship. I don't think he's going anywhere, but if you're resetting your coach, there's a good chance the Warriors start to make decisions on behalf of the future of the franchise rather than prioritizing whatever helps Steph Curry the most, which is wild to think. But you know, if you're playing the long game, then yeah, sure, Curry's out. But if you still want to maximize Steph Curry because you're never going to have another Steph Curry again, then I think you have to keep Curry and try to find other replacements and continue winning that way. The case to move on from Steve Kerr is, well, quite frankly, they haven't outperformed their roster. Despite many roster holes and issues, they haven't outperformed even when they've been healthy. And I know it's taken some time and they were good towards the back end of last season heading into the playoffs. You could argue it's kind of a soft schedule, but once they got Jimmy Butler, they were good and started to finally play better. But they haven't outperformed. It's been a while, particularly the first half of this season. The other thing with Steve Kerr's system, in the case to move on, is his system has started to get, it is antiquated in the NBA. I am all for having ball movement, high IQ guy, and skilled players who can pass the ball, playoff ball, back cut, you know, play a beautiful brand of basketball. At my heart, I think that is the truest form of basketball that should be played. It's why you see a lot of European teams and international teams have a lot of success in these tournaments versus just the athletes and isolation players in the US, you know, kind of dating back to a few different international Olympics and tournaments. Excuse me. But all that being said, you look at teams like the Thunder, the Celtics, you know, the best teams, a lot of isolation. Your best player just has the ball a lot and you just put spacing around him. You minimize turnovers and it's just really kind of just playing in space for your best player, which you can argue is a more analytically efficient style. And it has been, and those have been the best teams in the league lately. Is the off-ball movement heavy offense? You know, it's hard to learn, but you know, is there a place for it? And I guess a lot of that is just that's what the offense that Steph Curry is going to thrive in the most. So are you going to get away from that? That's just the argument that it's hard to find those type of players. Those type of players are European type players. They're like, or they're like your GP2 type players. They're your Podziemski type players. You know, smart, savvy, but probably athletically compromised. If they were athletic and positionally big and they could pass, shoot, defend, cut, move off ball, space the floor, well, then they'd probably be a top 10 player in the NBA. It's hard to find guys like that. Even when you think about the stars in the league, like who other than Steph really is as, you know, a dominant off ball player who can do all those things we just talked about, can see the floor well and pass, that isn't more of an isolation scorer. It's hard to think of guys like that. And because of that, it's been hard for the Warriors to find fits and types of players to build that roster. Almost every one of those players that you find that's skilled and can do that has one major deficiency. And usually it's either on defense, it's on the size, or they just can't shoot. And you can look at a lot of the Warriors' types of players over the past couple of years, and you can probably find a glaring flaw in each of them because of this. Lastly, the biggest reason why I could get on board with moving on from Steve Kerr. Does this team have a realistic path to contention without just shaking up and tearing down a significant part of the roster? Can they get an upgrade or two? Can they even attract, you know, one more all-star type player? Does that put them into contention? Or does it require just a major shakeup? This is just beyond Steve Kerr, but it starts with moving on from Steve Kerr, and you are just rebuilding everything with some youth, some athleticism, and you're probably trading Jimmy Butler. You're probably getting rid of Draymond Green. You're hoping to bring in somebody like a Giannis or just another superstar player. And you are just completely shaking this thing up because what you have right now isn't a contender. And if you want to give stuff another chance, you are literally just kind of YOLOing it and just mixing it up for the sake of mixing it up and hoping that you can just start from scratch, essentially, build around Steph Curry, probably more so build towards your future and hope that in the next 2, 3 years, if Steph's still there, you give him one more chance at a deep playoff run. So personally, it's tough. I tend to think that Steve Kerr is not the problem. I would stick with him because I don't know, you're not going to get a better coach than Steve Kerr. And for continuity's sake, for better, for worse, I think, and just because I think Steph and Draymond would opt to keep Steve Kerr, I'm fine keeping it. And you're just hoping to find other ways to improve on the margins and lure a major LeBron or Kawhi or Giannis and make it work with Steve Kerr. That's me. If he leaves, I will be sad. It will hurt, but I will understand why and the reasons that it makes sense for him to leave. Okay. I know everyone has very strong feelings one way or the other on this, so hopefully I didn't offend everybody, but that's where I land on Kerr. All right, quickly, I'll go through some predictions because the Warriors have a lot of roster decisions that need to be made. Starting with Steph is extension eligible. He can add potentially 1 or 2 years past next year. So extend out to, two more years or 3 more years from this point. I would think that he's going to extend to 3 more years. Sounds like he intends to keep on playing for multiple years. Is it at the max? I don't know, and I don't think we're going to find that out until a lot of other pieces fall into place. Anthony Slater has said the same, that there's a lot of other things to figure out first before you decide if it's even worth taking a pay cut for Steph, because it could just be for nothing if your roster construction doesn't make sense and it's unaffected by saving $10, $15 million, and you're just saving Joe Lacob a little bit of money. In that case, give that money to Steph. So I think you'll see a 2-year extension on Steph. I hope that the roster's put together where maybe he signs. I don't know what his max would be. I'm guessing it's close to 70 mil. Maybe he signs in like that, like 40 to 45, maybe $50 million range. If we're lucky, say, get yourself a $15, $20 million player potentially because of it. Draymond Green has a player option. I think it's what, $28, $29 million next year. Obviously, a little overvalued for what Draymond, as much as we love him, provides. I think his options are to either just opt in and get your money, opt out and extend. So, take a little bit less per year, call it $15 million, but extend 2 more years in line with Steph, maybe in line with Steve Kerr, stretch that out to maybe 15 per year for 3 years, more total money, less per year allows the Warriors a little flexibility. Or he either opts in and gets traded, and you're using that contract to try to make salaries meet. We'll see how that works. My projection on him is that he's going to do the unselfish thing. He's going to opt out and then get extended for a total of 3 years. I'll call it $15 to $18 million per year. Pods needs an extension. Pods came on strong at the end of the year. He's also a very divisive player on the Warriors. You have to extend him. He's also probably going to be in that $15 to $18 million range is kind of what I would pay him, but that is a lot of money to tie up in what he is. And your core is essentially going to be very similar at this point if your money's invested there and on these other players. Obviously, they're not going to move on, but you could let it play out and let him play finish out that year on the rookie contract, and then he's just kind of in lame duck. Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga, restricted free agent territory, and you're kind of doing that whole thing again. I think it depends on what other options you have building and coming in before you decide on what you're going to do with Pods. Porzingis is a free agent. Same idea, kind of just depends on what else you have coming in. Obviously, he is your salary spot that you lost when you traded, that you retained when you traded away Jonathan Kuminga. So he could opt in at whatever value you want, and then you can sign and trade him. You could just sign him to like a 1 or 2 year deal, like maybe something like a two, 1 year, a 1 year plus a team option. Give him maybe $13 to $15 million and go from there. I think he should not get anywhere above $18 million. That's just too much risk and he just misses too much time. And it seems like the Warriors have a little leverage here because he really likes it seems that he enjoys playing with the Warriors. So in that case, hey, maybe give him a year or two and see if you can get him to play, at least two-thirds of the games, be healthy when the time comes, and you get him for basically two-thirds the salary that he should probably command. Melton, player option, he's going to opt out. It's $5 million. Can you get him back on the mid-level? Non-taxpayer, which would be $15 million. That's probably too much. It depends on a lot of things, but I think Melton's probably going to be gone. The only hope is that Melton played himself out of some money with his very poor finish to the season and his 3-point shooting all year. Maybe he doesn't get a great contract. He does seem like he likes the Warriors and would come back, but I think you're deciding between extending Pods or signing Melton. I think they end up re-signing Pods, and he's essentially that other combo guard. And Melton is a luxury. And with GP2 having played well, you do still have some good perimeter defense that can kind of serve the role that Melton would otherwise be irreplaceable in, because that is going to be an issue for the Warriors, is perimeter defense. So I think GP2, you're going to have to re-sign on a vet's minimum, which I would predict will happen. Lastly, Horford has a player option. I would guess he's going to opt in. Maybe he can get some more money elsewhere, but the Warriors, basically, I think Horford played himself into the Warriors' good graces. I think the Warriors made it strong enough and had a just barely enjoyable enough season for Horford to come back and kind of finish up his career playing alongside Steph for one more year. And then finally, lastly, the draft. Well, I'm going to predict the draft. Warriors get the first pick over. I'm just kidding. Sure, if the Warriors get a top pick, then we can talk about what we would do. You take the best player possible, but all things considered equal, Warriors need a wing. They need some positional size. If you can end up with a top three or four pick and end up getting Cam Boozer or Caleb Wilson, fantastic. Even AJ DeBenza, can't say his name. I mean, that if I had the first pick, I would take him. Darren Peterson is obviously going to be great. Doesn't really fit this team, but when you're drafting, you're not drafting a top four pick for the immediate future. You're just taking the top talent and rebuilding for later. If the Warriors stay at 11, we want someone like a Jaxel Lendenberg from Michigan, kind of an older player, probably not as much upside, but a skilled kind of big forward who can pass, shoot, attack, ball handle. I think he's probably the best fit for the Warriors, but that part of the draft, and we're going to get way more into this, the kind of that 5 through 10 part of the draft is a lot of guards, which is probably good for the Warriors. I don't think we need any guards. And then that like 10 to 15, 18 range is a lot more bigs and wings. And so I can see the Warriors living in that range. But we'll see what Mikey D, for the first time, this is the best pick he's had. He's done a good job up until so far hitting on Pods and some second round picks. Let's see. This is his big opportunity to hit on a lottery pick. All right, we covered a lot, guys. I think we're going to leave it there. And once we kind of get some more news on the first domino to fall, which will be Steve Kerr probably sometime next week, we will start to assess the direction of the Warriors. Until then, make sure you like, subscribe. You will hear the news here and my opinions because, well, I got you guys. All right. Until next time, I've been Christian. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.